According to Tatler magazine in the UK, Brexit and all talk of Brexit should be banned from dinner party conversations if you're hoping to have a successful soiree. And with dinner parties being a popular activity, what are the do's and don'ts? To discuss this, I'm joined on the line now by Rupert Wesson, who is the Academy Director at Dubrett's in London. Rupert, you're very welcome.
Kira, thank you very much indeed.
Well, thank you for joining us. I suppose I might be the odd one out, because I think I might quite enjoy a dinner party where people talked about Brexit. It's the kind of nonsense I like to chat about on a night out.
I think the golden rule is don't be boring, and it is possible to talk about politics in a way that's interesting and engaging. And I think we should all talk about politics. So I don't agree with Tatler on that.
Do you not?
I think it would be a sad world if we couldn't talk about politics. But I think if we talk about it in a way that's boring, intransigent, if we just go on permanent send, if we don't ask questions of other people, that is boring.
And is
but
that,
politics doesn't have to be boring.
Yes, and is that the key at a dinner party, that you have two ears and one mouth? So you may have an opinion on Brexit, and you may be a fixed Brexiteer or a hardened Remainer, but you're not just there on a soapbox.
Absolutely, yeah. I think you have to accept that other people might have views that differ from yours. But by the same token, if everyone agrees with you, what a boring conversation that would be.
You see, that was my fear. My fear was that I would be bored if I was at a dinner party where I wasn't allowed to talk about anything a bit meaty. So you think that's okay?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that a good conversation where you get these issues out on the table is great fun. I would hate to talk about politics all evening.
You're dead right.
I'm not sure I could talk about politics all evening, but I think it's great to get it out there, and I think we should talk about politics more.
Yeah, and obviously Brexit, particularly I'm sure in the UK, is quite a contentious issue because there's a lot of divisiveness around it and people with very strong views, and I'm sure it is. We have similar things here. I'm sure people don't want to talk about, we have an abortion referendum coming up. That may not be topic for dinner party conversations, that kind of thing, because of the strongly held views on both sides. But are there general rules for dinner party etiquette that people should sort of adhere to in order to, one, have a nice night or host a nice night, and also, two, to be a good guest?
Yes, I think we should not overlook the fact that they're there to be enjoyed. And if anything that is going on in your planning that means that you as the host won't enjoy it, then don't do it. And again, if you find that you have guests who are dragging the evening down, then perhaps put them to the bottom of your invite list. I think, yes, those are the other things. As the host, don't go overboard on the catering. Don't try and show off. Just get a little better each time you cater, but you as the host have to enjoy the party. I think that's absolutely critical.
Do you think most hosts do enjoy the party? Because I know I've spoken to lots of people and they often admit, maybe towards the end of the night, that having a dinner party can be quite stressful. You've invited all these people to your home and then there's a pressure on you to provide them with a good night. It can be quite a tough gig for the hosts themselves.
It can be. And I think one of the things that hosts shouldn't be afraid of is asking the guests for help. If you're lucky enough to have staff in your house, well, that's great. But for the rest of us mortals, I think don't be afraid of asking for help. And by the same token, if you're a guest, don't be afraid of offering. Whenever I'm hosting and people offer, I bite their arm off, so to speak, and I will take all the help I can get. Prepare is the other thing, and that's the key to enjoying it. If you're running around trying to do too many things and your guests are talking amongst themselves, you'll miss out on all the chat. By the same token, you may miss out on all the Brexit chat, so perhaps you can choose your moment. But I think it's just preparing, and it's about enjoyment. There's nothing better than to open your door and invite people in, some you know well, some you know less know well, and actually offer them hospitality. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's something that unites every culture, every country, every creed. We all do it. We all do it our own different way, and it's a wonderful thing to do. So make sure it doesn't become a burden.
It strikes me that the Tatler article was referring to quite formal dinner parties in a way, because they were saying men should wear jackets and women should wear frocks and heels and all the kind of stuff. A lot of people would have people around for supper or people over for dinner, and they wouldn't necessarily expect them to be arriving suited and booted in a very formal way. It might be a much more intimate affair. Is that reasonable too?
It absolutely is reasonable. I think if you're thinking of dinner parties as only being for almost verging on black tie, then you're missing an opportunity. Suppers can be as much fun, informal, almost spontaneous, as they can where you do put on a bit of a show. There's no reason not to have people round to supper on a work night. Supper doesn't have to be something that goes on until the early hours to be deemed a success. I think the idea of the very simple idea of opening your door and inviting people in and providing a little bit of hospitality, that for me is a dinner party. It's not about jacket and tie and all that.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you about all of that. But what did you make of the Tatler position on children? It firmly places a ban on all children at dinner parties, and they're allowed to pop in for a hello for a maximum of 5 minutes, it said, and are prohibited from any kind of a performance. Now, I think we've all been to a dinner party where somebody's little Johnny or little Mary has pirouetted around the room and sang songs and all that kind of stuff. Is that a no-no? Is that a bit harsh?
I think that is a bit harsh. It's a bit prescriptive. That's not quite the Debrett style to be quite so prescriptive as that. No, it's great. It's great that the children are slowly introduced, and they shouldn't wait until their 18th birthday before they're allowed to
be produced to your friends like a surprise.
before they look beyond the dining room door and see their adults sitting out. No, I think it's I think children should see what's going on, but I think also adults want to relax and feel that they don't have to edit their conversation. So I think there is a time and a place for children not to be sat there at midnight still listening to the parents rambling on.
Well, there is an element of that. I would suggest it also suggests that I think there's a hell of a lot of pressure on anyone having a dinner party who's reading the Tatler article, because hosts should maintain an air of mystery about the event, so no group emails or that kind of thing. You shouldn't maybe know who you're going to have dinner with. It should all be rather more veiled in secrecy. Maybe I've been having really crap dinner parties, but this level of attention to detail and this level of sort of intrigue has never even entered my head.
No, I know some people who do like to do that. I also know some hosts who will sit you down at a table and they won't take the time to have introduced you to the people you're sitting next to. So you then have to play at 20 questions just to try and work out who everyone is. But I think their point of view is that it's to try and weed out those people who are a bit sniffy about coming to dinner parties unless there's some exciting or important people there. I would hope that none of my friends think like that. And actually, perhaps it's a good way of weeding out those people you don't really want around your table if they'll only turn up if they feel they're in the sort of esteemed company that they view themselves as being on a par
okay,
with.
Okay, so a social pecking order might be more apparent from those things. I get you. Just lastly on all of this, Rupert, Debrett's itself, you guys are a professional coaching company and obviously publishers and authority on modern etiquette, but you were founded in 1769 after you published the first edition of the New Peerage. That's quite the lineage. You guys go back hundreds of years. Are you still in demand? Are there still people who call on your services to know how to behave at social sort of soirees or at certain events or what have you?
We have never been busier. We have made sure that we are still relevant for the 21st century. Every society, every country, every culture has its own etiquette, and we are finding that people are interested in British etiquette, international etiquette, there's business etiquette, there's social etiquette, and we are finding that people are looking to us to find out more about it. And of course, we're delighted to do that.
Well, look, thank you very much for speaking to us today. That is Rupert Wesson there, the Academy Director at Debrett's in London, which of course would teach you all about fine manners and fine dining indeed, and is somewhat at odds with the Tatler article about proper dinner party etiquette. But I am joined now on the line by one of our listeners and friend of the show. Geraldine Herbert, of course, is a motoring journalist herself with The Independent. Geraldine, are you having the right kind of dinner parties? Is yours of a standard where you're meeting these kinds of etiquette rules?
Well, definitely the 12 commandments as prescribed by Tatler, my dinner parties would fail miserably. They really would.
I like the sound of your dinner parties.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, you know, good conversation is the key to successful dinner parties. So I think, you know, you need to push conversations to the edge. And the idea that religion, politics or money would be off the table, I just don't understand. Now, having said that, I think it's the role of a good host. And don't get me wrong, Ciara, I don't run too many dinner parties.
No, nor I.
Don't attend
alas.
Too many. But I think it's up to the host to make sure that nobody's offended or insulted. But, like, I'd much prefer, you know, a lively conversation at a dinner party than resorting to talking about the kids and holidays and the weather.
Bland.
And essentially, that's what you'll go back to if you don't have these beefy topics.
Tell me what you thought about, because I saw your tweet there earlier about Tatler's advice on vegan guests.
Oh, I just thought this was priceless. They said that the host shouldn't have to worry about catering for vegans or gluten-free diets, that those guests should just simply eat before they attend the party and then, you know, just not mention it when they get there. So obviously they're given the food like everybody else and they just play with it and hand it back and say that was lovely.
So in other words, if somebody is vegan and you've invited them to your home and you know they're a vegan and you're hosting them, there's no impetus on you to provide no. diet for them at all.
That's simply their problem for being awkward.
Is that not flying, you know, entirely in the face of hospitality? Maybe it's an Irish thing, but I would have thought that if somebody came and had an allergy or was a vegetarian or was a vegan or whatever they were, that you'd still have to provide them with some kind of food.
I know, I'd be highly insulted. I mean, I have good friends who are vegetarians. When they come to the house, I'd never just say, well, we're serving beef, so you can just slide it to the side of your plate and eat the veg.
You can kind of poke at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. But the other thing, as you mentioned, was the idea that women should wear frocks and heels. But the other thing that was totally, would never happen, certainly at my dinner parties, was that dinner had to be served by 8:45 p.m. because it was simply unacceptable to serve it after 9.
Unacceptable to who? Not your guests if they're starving. Yeah, do you know what? I think you and I would get on just fine at a dinner party.
I think so too, Ciara.
I do, but I'm not sure that I would make the cut at all at one of the Tatler gigs. What did you think about the child performances? Is that a good idea, a bad idea for people's dinner parties?
I think in fairness, you know, there's probably a time and a place for kids, and most people, if you're having the dinner parties that I have at 10 o'clock at night, they should really be tucked up in bed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I suppose there is an element sometimes at dinner parties where if somebody has a precocious child, I suppose that you weren't expecting to be there and you were expecting to have a kind of an adult evening and they are, you know, doing a whole X Factor in the corner all night. That I'm kind of gently enough with Tatler on that.
Yeah, I think you can find yourself dining alone in the future for that one, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Look, thank you for talking to us. I'll be round to yours next week, maybe.
Perfect. See you
Great
then,
stuff. Thank you for that, Ger. And thank you for all of you getting involved, obviously, on the subjects. It seems that our standards in general in Ireland on dinner parties are not quite what Tatler would want for us.